Greetings once again to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The passage for our consideration this morning is taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have finished chapter 1 and now we continue with chapter 2. In chapter 1, the Apostle Paul strengthened the faith of the Christians in Thessalonica to encourage them, to challenge them, as well as to prepare them for the persecution that would come. And in chapter 2, he begins to deal with a particular attack, an attack that had perhaps some success inside the church in Thessalonica, and it has created certain uncertainty and unhappiness perhaps in the hearts and minds of God's children. And it pertains to the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. This doctrine was taught by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We have touched upon that some months back. And was basically with reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church, which we and the Bible describe as the first resurrection for those who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ, and for all of God's children who are alive in this physical body, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for the church, it will be called the rapture. The rapture is a Latin word that is used to describe the English phrase to be caught up. And so some have crept into the church and said that this particular event had already taken place. Why is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for His church so important to the believer, that Satan would want to undermine this and attack this doctrine? Now you and I know that Satan will select certain doctrines in the Bible to attack. Because the moment he attacks certain doctrines, either he will jeopardize your faith, or either he will ruin the gospel message, whereby you will be preaching another gospel, and those who believe in another gospel that is not the gospel of the Bible, then they will be deceived. To be deceived into thinking that they are born again, that they are going to heaven, but actually they are not going to heaven, they are not born again, but they think they are, but actually they are still heading to hell. So Satan will continue to undermine and to attack. Now please bear this in mind. If you are truly born again, if you are a child of God, Satan can never take away your salvation. Satan knows that, but he doesn't care. He wants you to think that you can lose your salvation. Because if all he needs to do is to make you think that you will lose your salvation, you become so flustered. You become so unsure and uncertain about your relationship with God, your relationship with Christ, and then your ministry and your service will be jeopardized. And then your testimony and your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ will become very tiresome, will become very, very nominal. And that's what he wants to do. And that's how he has succeeded on many, many occasions, to take away your testimony, and that would be an attack on your physical life, your life on this earth. Because he knows that nothing on this earth can separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Not death, not principalities, which include Satan, not anything or anyone in heaven or in earth that can separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus if you are truly born again. If you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you are a child of God. That is God's reassurance. That is God's guarantee. That is God's promise. And this guarantee comes with the indwelling of the Spirit of God in our hearts as a seal that we will forever be God's children. But once he succeeds in undermining your physical life, and this doctrine of the second coming of Christ is one of the best ways to undermine our physical life. He wants to destroy the joy of the Lord as you live on this earth. He wants to destroy your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as you live on this earth. Because if he succeeds, he will render you and me helpless. And then when unbelievers look at our tasteless, helpless Christian testimony, they will be stumbled. They will say, what is the point of believing in Christ? You look at all these professing Christians. You look at how miserable they are. You look at how listless they are, how tasteless their demeanor is. So what is the point of believing in Christ? See, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the climax of our salvation. We have touched on this. It is the climax of our salvation whereby you and I will receive the glorified body. Whatever ills, whatever disease, whatever pain that you now have on this earth, it will be gone forever. These are all temporal experiences that we have to endure as long as we are in this earthen vessel. This earthen vessel will be afflicted and be affected by the diseases and by all the terrible persecutions that we have to endure. But always bear in mind that God is sovereign. Bear in mind that because of the sovereignty of God, He takes care of us, not only in eternity, but also on this earth. That even if you have to face persecution, even if you have to endure a terminal illness, whatever pain that you have to go through, God has promised us that my grace will always be your sufficiency. He will never allow all His children to be tempted and afflicted beyond what He knows you and I can bear. He knows the strength and the measure of your faith. You must continue to trust in Him. You must always lean upon Him. You must always have this blessed hope at the very foremost of your mind and your heart. Because to know that Jesus Christ is coming again for me, for all His children, you know how wonderful that is? That will give you the perspective of life that you must never lose. A perspective of life on this earth, whereby when you go to work, you know that this is a time, a day of ministry and service, of testifying for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, everything on this earth will now be revealed to you, no longer by faith, but by sight, as completely, totally inconsequential and insignificant, if not for Jesus Christ in your life. All the money that you have is useless in heaven. All the money and properties that you have will remain behind when the Lord Jesus Christ takes you home. Every trials and difficulties that you encounter will become a thing of the past. Every privilege and opportunity that you could witness and testify and earnestly contend for the faith, for the glory of God and for the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ will also come to an end. And all these understanding must spur us on to serve as much as we possibly can while it is still day, while before the Lord Jesus Christ returns and we can serve Him no more. And if you are clamoring for all these earthly, earthbound rewards, pleasures, and luxury, and accolades, then as children of God, you have to stop. Because the thought and the understanding and the remembrance of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ to take me home will immediately open your eyes to see that all these climbing of the corporate ladder is meaningless. It's futile. You don't look for them. You don't care for them. You don't aim for them. If they come, you only use every opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you never long for them. So much so that even if they don't come, it doesn't bother you one single bit. Whether they come or they do not come, it doesn't bother you. Your focus is always spiritual. Your focus is on eternal things. Your focus is on how can I glorify Christ today, from this morning until evening before I lay my head down to sleep. And that must consume us because we are very, very aware of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take me home. Husband and wife relationship, parent-child relationship. When you look at your children, when they lie down in bed and asleep, what comes through your mind as you think of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You look at their faces. Different ages, from infancy to toddlers And as they grow older and older, you look at them as they're sleeping. The only gift from God that we as parents can bring with us to heaven. And then you think of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What comes into your mind as Christian parents? You still want to think of tuition, of the tuition, of the tuition? You still want to think of how they can succeed on this earth in all the games and activities? You still want to prepare them for life on this earth and in this world where all you care about is their education, 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 and what is the end of a good education, a luxurious life on this earth? Is that what will occupy your mind as a Christian parent, knowing that Jesus Christ is coming, where all the things of the world will grind to a halt immediately, where everything that is on this earth that seemed, that used to be so meaningful and consume our waking hours, and now you realize that it is nothing but thin air. Do you realize that? Every blade of grass on every piece of land that you own, every grain of sand that is used to build your house, all these will immediately become useless and meaningless the moment the Lord Jesus Christ returns. This world the Lord revealed to all His children is reserved for destruction by fire. You know that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, this is exactly what the world will experience. This is exactly what the world will face. This is our Heavenly Father's revelation to His children to prepare them so that they will not live this life on earth pursuing after rubbish. Because that's exactly what we do with rubbish. Burn it. And so think, parent. You think very carefully as you look at your life. Sons and daughters whose parents are not believers. Husbands and wives whose spouses are not believers. You think very carefully, because the moment the Lord Jesus Christ returns, they will end up in hell if they die in their sin. If they remain in sin without the Savior, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. That's why when you look at them, you must look with these eyes, remembering the return of our Savior. So that when you see, you don't see flesh and blood. You see a very different picture. That this person who may be persecuting me, who may have all kinds of animosity toward me, you see him as someone who needs Christ. You see him as not your enemy. You see him as a sinner that is heading toward the fiery pits of hell itself. And how you need to reach out to him. How important and needful it is for this person to see Christ by the way that I live. Because they are not going to turn to the Bible to read God's Word. Your life will be the pages of the Bible that will be flashed across his eyes day in and day out, every moment of every day. That's why you and I are allowed by God to remain on earth before the day of the Lord comes. And that's why this doctrine will continuously, constantly be attacked by Satan. Because once it is distorted, once you forget about it, once you don't remember this, once you do not have this doctrine foremost in your mind, it is so easy for us to forget. It is so easy to love this world. It is so easy for us to embrace this world and to pursue after the things of this world and forgetting that the things of this world will perish. And that's what Satan will try his utmost to succeed in doing, in destroying our testimony. And when our testimonies are destroyed, the people closest to us who are outside Christ, you can rest assured they will be stumbled. They're going to have a distorted picture of Christ because of our terrible witness. They're going to think that Jesus Christ cannot be the Son of God that can take away the sins of the world. He cannot be the Lamb of God that can take away the sins of the world. Because you look at these professing believers, they still love sin. They are still in sin. How can they say they believe in Christ? Because sin still resides in them. They don't live a holy life. They still play with sin, even though they say that their Savior died on the cross for their sin. If the Savior died on the cross for their sins, then why would they play with sin? Why do they want to encourage sin in their lives? Should they not hate sin? Should they not despise sin? Should they not repent of all their sins and get rid of sins the moment they know that they are in sin? Surely they would, because they say that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. And if Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and they have identified themselves with the death of Christ, they also have died. Their sinful nature no longer resides in them. Then if the sinful nature no longer resides in them, they must love holiness. They must love purity. They must love all that is good and pure and kind and gentle. But when we look at the lives of these Christians, they don't. They love the world just like me. They think the world is everything that there is on this earth, just like me. But that is not the life of a Christian. And that is why it is so important for you and me never to forget the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially to come and gather us together unto Him. That's what it says. To gather all of us unto Him. That's what the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is. To take all of us home. That means your time on this earth is never meant to be permanent. Your time on this earth is always temporal. Now, if it is temporal, it makes no sense for us to treat as if this life on earth is eternal. This life on earth is not eternal. That means whatever job you hold, wherever you stay, whatever home you have, whatever gadget, everything that is of this earth must be used to help you be a more effective Christian, to help you become a more godly Christian. Your home, your house, your books, everything that you have, your clothing, must help you to be a godly witness and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we must do with this earthly life that God has given to us. Whether in a one-room apartment or in a 10-room mansion, it does not matter. Whatever God has blessed us with, He knows what is best for His children that will help Him be the best testimony for Him on this earth. That's why we don't envy. We don't envy people who have more than us. We don't look down on people who have less than us. We encourage one another. We look at one another with the eyes of Christ as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not based upon which address you stay in. Not based upon what kind of garments you wear. What kind of pen you carry. What kind of watches you have. All these things are carnal and worldly. We don't care for these things as God's children. The watch is just there to tell time. I don't care how much it is. So if you can afford a $30,000, a $300,000 watch, good for you. Don't forget your $300,000 watch will also be left behind. Just like my $3 watch. All will be left behind. It makes no difference. So that's why it doesn't matter. If you measure yourself by your house address and you think that you are so great and your confidence is because of your education, it's because of your bank account and the titles that you have earned, then you are not a child of God to even think that way. Because there is nothing this earth can ever give you, can ever come close to what God has given to you in Jesus Christ. And that is a parent-child relationship. God says, you can now call me Abba, Father. You can think of anything on this earth that can even come close to this wonderful relationship that now you have on this earth, to be God's child. And now you want to replace this with something that is of this earth? That is not very smart. Because everything on this earth can be destroyed by rust, can be stolen by thief, can be eaten up by moth, can be destroyed by inflation. Isn't it true? You think you're going to be a CEO forever? Even the president of America will cease to be the president when his term is up. True? You think your bank account is going to be forever? Even banks can go bankrupt. You think your landed property today is worth 200 million and tomorrow you still be 200 million? Have you not seen, have you not experienced the great crashes of the economy of the world where a house can be worth so much and that tomorrow it's not even half its worth of yesterday? Have we not learned from all these? The world has no true value. You know who is the richest family on this earth? Not today. I mean, the richest family in man's history. Do you know which is the richest family? Noah. Is he not the richest family? Noah, he opened the door of the ark. The whole earth is his. You can tell the son, Shem, where do you want to stay? You know, mountain? Take any mountain you want. How much? Free. Through what? Free. You want to stay on the beach? Take anywhere you can go. It's all free. True? You pay anything? No. Mountains, you want to go anywhere, it's all free. The richest family, he owns the whole earth. True? You think very carefully. Things of this earth have value because there are people who also want it because of you. And because there are people who want it, so there is competition, and therefore people want to pay for it. You look at a piece of painting. The piece of painting is worth more than $10. Take away the frame, take away the piece of canvas, and then the few blab of colorful paint. And now people pay 20 over million, don't know how much million, for some painting of some dead people. And he's even dead. So, who says it's worth $20 million? Who says? Well, because one clown says it's worth it, so then he wants to pay for it. But actually, what is the intrinsic value? The piece of canvas, a few blobs of paint. That's it. And all these will be consumed. You know that. A building, $1 billion construction. Nothing but grains of sand all joined together with cement, also made of dust. True? This whole building made of dust. Everything. So where is the value? Nothing of this earth is valuable in the true sense of the word. But you are valuable. That's why God says, I'm coming here to gather you. Not the animals, not the birds, my children. Don't you ever forget that. God will gather all His children to Himself. I'm going to bring all of you home, in other words. You are now serving in this world that will recognize God as His enemy. God knows that He has placed all of us in a very dangerous place. Deceptions are everywhere. Persecutors, haters of God, haters of Christians, they are everywhere. False Christians are everywhere. He knows. And that's why He places here on earth as light to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ while He is seated at God's right hand, waiting one day for the earth to become His footstool, and then He will return and He will gather all of us, all His children. And we pray and hope as the session of this church that everyone in Calvary Pandan or every worshipper who comes to Calvary Pandan, that you will be given the gospel at least 10 times every year when you come to this church. So that none of you will be excused. That you have not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll be left behind when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to gather all of us unto Him. Because that was exactly the deception that the Apostle Paul warned them. Because some false teachers said that the day of the Lord Jesus Christ to gather His sin has already taken place. And it has already taken place. Then why are you guys still in church? Why are you guys still on earth? That means you have been left behind. That was the problem. And some of them were panicking. Some of them were troubled. And that's why from verse 3 onwards, the Apostle Paul will give us some signs that must take place before the second coming of Christ for the church can take place. And that will be next study. So he warns us. The first attack, you look, verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. And that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to shake our mind, our thinking. To shake it means to agitate it, to make you begin to doubt, to make you become unsure of the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. That's what he wants to do. And once this blessed hope is taken away from you, you're going to replace this blessed hope with some other kind of hope to motivate you. And when the hope that you have replaced to motivate you falls apart, you just imagine the kind of life that you're going to live when you are filled with hopelessness. You know what a hopeless life is? You can sometimes read it in the papers. People who are hopeless, they take their own lives. They find that living is now meaningless. And some of them, because of the great debt they owe through the gambling that they are addicted to, they have lost everything. They have lost their home. They have lost their life savings. They have lost their family. And now the mountain of debt is so enormous, they just do not know what to do. They do not know how they're going to get themselves out of it. So filled with hopelessness, they take their lives. And it is tragic. When you replace this blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to gather you, to be with Him, don't allow anyone to take this doctrine away from you. Don't let the seduction of this world to succeed. Please don't think that this is just a mental exercise. Please don't think that this is a remembrance of some verses and that's it. A remembrance of some verses is different from living a life in light of this truth. To remember this doctrine according to Scripture always means living a life that is in light of this truth, the gathering of the saints unto Himself. That must be what is seen in your life. Is this seen in your life? Is your relationship with everything that God has blessed you with, everyone that God has blessed you with, in light of this gathering of the saints? Is it? Is your attitude toward your service? Is your attitude toward your work, your studies, the friends, including even your enemies? Is it in light of this gathering? See, there are some people who will do anything to win. If I have to lie and cheat to win, so be it. In light of this gathering of the saints, you can never do that. You must always remind yourself that you will never, never transgress just to win in inverted commas. Because to win on this earth at all costs means you have already lost in the spiritual realm, in the court of God. Because when you lie, when you sin, just to win some dollars and cents, just to win some material things, just to win some human carnal accolades, you have lost because you have forgotten that you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your problems, my struggles, your struggles, are not, it's not against flesh and blood, it's not against that person. It's always spiritual. When the person shouts at me, when the person persecutes me, when the person takes me to court, when the person do this to me, hurt me, betray me, stab me in the back, how I react and respond is the spiritual struggle that you must always remember. You don't have to respond in sin. You don't have to sin in the process. You don't have to become like this person and stab the person in the back. You must respond according to Christ, as taught in Holy Scriptures. And to remember that I'm going to be gathered into the very presence of God. You want to fight for this title? You can have it. You want to fight for this promotion? You want to fight for this bonus? You can have it. I am more concerned with my testimony before you. You want it? Carry on. You can take this. We are not asking you to sacrifice your testimony for Christ. The Apostle Paul will defend and fight and defend when they try to take away his apostleship. Because if they had succeeded in taking away his apostleship, all the epistles that he had written would be chucked into the rubbish bin. He knew that. That's why he said, I am man and apostle, not of man, not of the church. It is by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he was not part of the original 12. The original 12's apostleship was never challenged. But the Apostle Paul's title was challenged time and time again, and he had to defend. We're not saying that you do not defend your honor for Christ. We're not asking you not to defend the Word of God, the name of Jesus Christ that you bear. By all means, defend this. But not for material things. Not for material, carnal, human accolades. All these things, you must put them aside. Once upon a time, they may be so important to you because you did not know Christ then. Once upon a time, you thought that money is everything. Once upon a time, you thought that life means a life of luxury, a successful life is equals to the amount of dollars and cents I have in my possession. Once upon a time, that was the old man, that was the old nature, that was the life that was depraved. But now that we are children of God, we must remember the gathering of the saints unto Christ Jesus. And so don't be easily agitated, in your mind or be troubled by all kinds of doctrines and attacks that will take away this doctrine. Satan can do it in many, many ways. He can persecute us, he can seduce us, and in the context of Singapore, very often it is seduction. It is the seduction of the many, many blessings and material rewards that come with the pursuit of the things of this earth. And then when you see your friends getting all this wealth, the tendency to be jealous, the tendency to want the same kind of life is so great and so real. But the moment you remember the gathering of the saints, and therefore everything will now fall back into its proper perspective, and then all these things will slowly grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer as you continue to turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. How will Satan do it? By spirit, by word, and by letter, as if it is from us, Paul says. By spirit means divine revelation. Now remember, at this point in time, the Bible is not completed yet. So there were a lot of what they called pseudepigrapha. Pseudepigrapha still exists today. Pseudepigrapha are epistles or writings of people who were signed off using the names of certain apostles. If I want to write an epistle to deceive you, I'm not going to sign it Kwek Swan Yew, right? I mean, who is Kwek Swan Yew? Who is this cartoon? Right? I will sign it Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? I would do that because these are people that are already accepted. So if you were Satan, you have to be cunning, you have to be very devious. So a lot of this pseudepigrapha, pseudo means other people's names, and pass it off. The Apostle Paul, you send epistle, Satan also have duplicates, and his minions also send false writings, false epistles, as if it is from the great Apostle Paul to confuse the people today. You think they have stopped? You think Satan has stopped? You go to any bookshop, Christian bookshop, you're going to find tons and tons of this material. 90%+ would be rubbish today. True. 90%+. You look at our Christian world, you look at Christendom today. It is already apostate. It is already falling away. Seminaries of the seminaries, Bible colleges of the Bible colleges, churches of the churches are falling down like 10 pins. And so the kind of books that are churned out by today's so-called scholars are nothing but junk and rubbish. We were forced to read 1,000 pages of material written by people who attack God's Word because we took a course called Old Testament Critical Methodologies. Why would someone ever want to offer such a terrible course? They made it compulsory, we have no choice. It was a winter course. We took the winter course so that we can come home back to Singapore as soon as possible. Many of our classmates and friends, they went home for holiday. I mean, winter is Thanksgiving. We have no family. We have only ourselves. And so we continued to study while our friends went home. So the course offered Old Testament critical methodologies. In 2 weeks, read 1,000 pages and write summaries of every book or every article that you read on how to criticize, how to attack the Old Testament. You know how terrible it is. 1,000 pages. It's so vexing, you know, to the spirit. You read and you get angrier and angrier and angrier. Sometimes you read until 1, 2 a.m. in the morning, and then you feel like taking the book and throw it out the window, and you're snowing outside. You're so fed up and so angry, and they keep on attacking. Moses did not write this. Paul did not write this. Many Daniels, many Jeremiah, he could not have written this, could not have done this. Page after page after page, 1,000 pages in 2 weeks. So angry with the lecturer, forced us to read all this rubbish. I never liked the lecturer anyway. Terrible lecturer. Out there, a lot, and that was 20+ years ago, by the way. Keep on attacking and attacking and attacking. You go out there and you read, and you get all confused. Your testimony will be gone. That's why make sure you have a good, sound understanding of all the doctrines of the Bible. in particular, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ, the gathering of the saints. You make sure that you are part of the saints. You make sure that when that day comes, you will be gathered. You make sure of that. Be very, very sure. Please, be very, very sure that your faith holds. Don't ever forget that. Because Satan will continue to attack and attack and your attack. And if he succeeds, rest assured the casualties will be the people closest to you. Your immediate family will become the first casualty. If you are a Christian father, Christian mother, then the casualties will be your children. It is a very sad thing when children grow up in a Christian home and they end up as unbelievers. And that means the parents will probably be the first and main culprits. Because they see you day in and day out. And if they see hypocrisy, because you have forgotten that you will be gathered together with the saints, and now you have become a lover of the world, and all you care about is work, 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 make more money, more money, more money, and the spiritual life of your children are completely ignored, and all you do is to provide clothing and food to them, nothing spiritual, and when they grow up, what do you think they will become? Don't let this world deceive you into thinking that you will not be gathered with the saints unto God. You will be. Don't forget that. As the day of Christ is at hand. At hand means has already come. That was the attack in those days. Today, all sorts of attack. Jesus will not come. He will not come soon. Don't worry. The doctrine that is very popular amongst the liberals and the modernists is that this world will become more and more righteous, more and more holy, and then the Lord will come. That is the doctrine that many post-millennialists will believe in. And that's why they all joined the ecumenical movement, tried to make this world into a wonderful place, and so they join hands with all sorts. That is not taught in scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He returns, the world will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. The world will become filled with homosexuals and fornicators. That's the life of the Sodomites. And are we not seeing this today? You think the world will become purer and purer and more beautiful? The Lord Jesus Christ says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? That means believers will be few. Faith, genuine faith, will be rare. Make sure of your salvation. The falsehood on the second coming of Christ has been warned. Hold on to it. Don't ever lose sight of this. Don't ever forget the gathering of the saints. Make sure that you are a saint, a holy one, a child of God, because you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior from the heart. Total surrender to Him. No holding back. And live for Him. If you are not living for Him and you are still pursuing the things of the world, you have sinned and you have destroyed your own testimony, and Satan has succeeded. Stop right now. Repent and turn back to the Lord and be a spiritual father, mother, husband and wife, son and daughter from henceforth until the Lord Jesus Christ gather us unto Himself. And may that blessed day be soon. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this blessed hope that You have given to all Your children. May Thou remind us, O Lord, through the leading prompting of Thy Holy Spirit who indwells all Your children, that we may never forget that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return and gather all His children unto Himself. We long for that day, and while we wait for that day to come, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, that if there be any wicked way in me, whereby I have become a lover of this world, where I have strayed away from Thee and pursue only after material things, and have forgotten to live for the Savior, forgive me. Cleanse me, O Lord, of all my sins by the blood of the Savior, that we may live once more for the Savior in light of this blessed and wonderful gathering of the saints before Thee.
And may this wonderful day be soon. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.